Today is Palm Sunday, and I invite you to open a Bible with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, as we focus this morning on the event of that day so long ago. Today is Palm Sunday, which officially begins what the Christian church calls Holy Week. And Holy Week is just a way that we have come to refer to the last days of Jesus' life and ministry, as he came eventually to the cross and then to his resurrection. Just as a little side note for a moment, in your bulletin this morning, you received this little sheet called Walking with Jesus Through Holy Week, and encourage you to use this as a devotional resource this week. The Gospels, of course, are full of the life of Jesus, and each of them has much to reflect on when it comes to the closing days of his ministry and the triumph of the cross of Christ. And so this is just a devotional tool that you could use as you want to make your way with the Christian church today through the final days of Jesus. So it is Palm Sunday, and so in our sanctuary, you'll see some of our decorations have been changed to reflect this. We have our palms in the color purple, which reflects the royalty and the kingship of Jesus Christ. And as we think, and the church does this, right, as we think about that day, it's not bad for us to just step into their shoes for a moment and wonder, what did they know? And by they, I mean the crowd. What did they know? And it's fair to say I'm not sure how much they knew. They were excited about this moment. Within the tradition and the history of the Jewish faith, there was a longing for a king, somebody to make things right. But did they know more? Well, whatever they did or didn't know, Jesus knew. Jesus knew, and this is why Holy Week is marvelous in the Christian faith, but every Sunday is Easter Sunday too, so we celebrate what Christ has accomplished. But Jesus knew. He knew that the cross was not a piece of decoration. The cross was not a piece of jewelry. The cross was a form of crucifixion. And he knew the cross was necessary. If you stand today forgiven and free in Jesus Christ, it is because of the cross. And even though we have that truth this morning, as we think about Palm Sunday, we want to linger for a little bit on the question, on this question. Not how much God's people or the people in Jerusalem knew that day, not any of that, but how will we respond? How will we respond to the one who came, the one who, as theologians have discussed this and as followers of Jesus Christ have embraced this, how do we follow or respond to the one who, let's be honest, he stepped into the mess we made, right? He bore God's wrath against our sin for us, for our sake. And whether you've been a follower of Jesus for 1 minute, or for a whole lifetime, Palm Sunday asks of the church, how will you respond to this Jesus? And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we open God's Word. Before we do, though, let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place, into our hearts. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we pray, as you have done throughout all of history, you will stir in our hearts again this morning a noble wondering of Christ. To not just imagine him as king, but to know him as king. We pray that as we open your word, as your gospel is proclaimed, that it would once again be so imprinted into our hearts that we'll know better how to respond to the Christ who came as our king. In his name we pray. Amen. Our passage this morning, again, is Luke 19. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word as we look at Luke's account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on that very first Palm Sunday. Listen to God's word as it comes to us this morning in the Gospel of Luke. After Jesus had said this, and he had talked about the parable of the 10 minas and what it would mean to follow him, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead, went, and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. Other Gospels say they also spread their palm branches, but Luke doesn't record that here. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. "I tell you," Jesus says, "if they keep quiet," the stones, right? "If they keep quiet," no, the people. "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It's a remarkable picture to think about. I've never heard a stone talk. Never been to a Rolling Stones concert either. And apparently they know how to sing, right? But could you imagine, pun totally intended here. This was like, it could have been the original rock concert. Let's go ahead and advance the screen, right? "Blessed is the King," said the people, "who comes in the name of the Lord." That was such a terrible pun, wasn't that? I even put it in my script. This is a pun, but yeah. As far as we know, it's never happened before, though. As far as we know, there's never been a rock in all of creation that has lifted up its voice. As far as we know, it's never happened. But here's a surprising twist, just to give you a little bit of a picture of where we're going to end this morning. Ever since Easter, ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I know we're a week away, but every Sunday is Easter Sunday too, but ever since the first Easter, stones have been singing. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. In Luke 9, which goes back 10 chapters prior to this moment, Luke records that Jesus, in the old King James Version, so it's the one I always use, but when it comes to this verse, it says, "Jesus set his face like flint to Jerusalem." He set his face. And ever since Jesus had done that, back and recorded all the way in Luke 9, ever since then, he has set his face to this moment. He also happens to say, by the way, in Luke 9, and I think it's important for us to hear that this morning, it's not just that Jesus went to Jerusalem. Right away after saying this in Luke, Jesus says to his disciples, I want to tell you what it means to follow me. And it means you've got to forsake everything. That to go the way of Christ, to go the way of Jesus, is to set aside as secondary everything else compared to the primary of knowing him. And so Jesus, when he sets his face toward Jerusalem, he's moving ultimately toward the moment that the Christian church celebrates today, which is Palm Sunday. It must have been quite a day. No numbers are given, and I think that's important. None of the Gospels, in fact, tell us how many people celebrated that day. But Luke just tells us that the focus of all the celebration, the focus of all the praise, the focus of every voice that was lifted was clearly on Jesus. He wasn't just the spectacle, he was the center of the show. And in doing so, what God does in asking and inspiring the writers of the gospel to record this, he wants the church to know, as you think about today, as you think about Christ, make sure that the whole of your heart, the whole of your being, and in the crazy world in which we live, it's so good to hear this, the whole of it is centered on Christ. Blessed, others say Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. You understand some of the treason of God's people, Israelites, saying this. There was a king in the land, you see, to declare another king. That has the potential for revolution, that has the potential for great chaos, and so it's no small thing. But blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. That's actually from Psalm 118, verse 26. And then peace in heaven. Why only heaven, though? Why not earth? Because in the last week or so, we've seen why we need peace here. But notice where it begins. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now, not everybody thought Jesus deserved that kind of recognition. I tell you, Jesus says, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. How people respond to Jesus, how people responded to Jesus in that day really fell on one of two sides. Either they stayed with him or they didn't. You'll find in some of the stories of Jesus after a hard teaching, it says there, many left him that day. The numbers dwindled when it got hard. Either they stayed with Jesus or they didn't. And today, the cross of Christ, again, that's the defining moment, right? The cross of Christ still does this. It does this in our homes. It does this to people we love dearly and wish they would come to know Christ. But it still divides, right? Either a person is for Jesus or they're not. There are, of course, seekers. I fully recognize people who are inquirers, but the reality is there is no middle ground on any of this. There wasn't really any middle ground on that Palm Sunday either. There can be seekers, but there is a dividing line of faith, and it's very fixed. It's unchanging. And even if everybody agreed to that, which I know they don't in our world today, the popular message, sometimes even in the church, which is very frustrating, sometimes even in the church, a popular message then, well, okay, let's say that's true, but then keep your faith private. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've faced that. Don't broadcast it. Keep it to yourself. Don't bring it to work. Don't bring it to your home. Don't bring it to your neighborhood. Don't bring it to the world. And simply put, of course, this is a worldview, an understanding that says, whatever you do, don't put your faith on display. Don't let it show. Don't let your light shine. Don't do any of that because it might make people feel uncomfortable. And I think it's tempting to agree with that because it's convenient. It's tempting to agree with that because it's comfortable. And I say this, please understand, I say this about my own heart. It's so much easier to keep quiet. Yet when we see Jesus, when we truly see Jesus and then put our hope in him and our faith in him and our trust in him, we quickly realize, and if you haven't realized it yet, you're hopefully on the road to sanctification, and the Spirit says to you again this morning, hey, I want you to know this, genuine faith rejects convenience. Genuine faith rejects comfortable and compromising. To see Jesus, which Palm Sunday centers the church again so beautifully on this as we're going to make our way into Holy Week, but to see Jesus is to know faith is very personal, but it can't be private. You don't get to, as a wonderful children's song says about this little light of mine, hide it under a bushel. No. Jesus reveals something on Palm Sunday to the world, and that is that the light shines, even when the darkness tries to overcome it. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As we journey with Jesus on a dusty road in Jerusalem, the option to keep faith silent really takes a back seat. And I asked, I started out, I wonder how many people knew. I don't know. We don't even know how many people were there. But here's the question for us this morning. How much do we know? And will we own this truth? It's Palm Sunday. The entire scope of Jesus' ministry, in many ways, is really coming to a lead, to a point beginning today in history and through the days ahead. Not coincidentally, it's the time of Passover in Jerusalem, which is why everybody's in Jerusalem. Faithful followers, Jewish faith had come. What is Passover? Well, Passover memorializes in so many wonderful ways God's deliverance of his people from slavery in Egypt. If you know the story, and you should know the story, right? There was the moment in which God said to his people after 9 plagues, the 10th one's about to come, and he tells them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the blood of an innocent lamb, and I want you to paint the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of your home. And whoever stands under the blood, I will pass over them. My judgment will not come to them. It's Palm Sunday, and God's people, the Jewish faithful, have made their way to the city of Jerusalem, and they're looking for this again. And today in Passover is what's known as Lamb Selection Sunday, because the lamb would be slaughtered on Friday as part of the Holy Weekend. But it's Lamb Selection Sunday. Again, Passover, apart from the blood, and there was hundreds of years of sacrifice and gushings of blood throughout the history of God's people, all because they long for relief from God's anger against their sin. It's salvation through substitution. It's Palm Sunday, and rumors of Jesus, as Luke tells the story, rumors of Jesus had spread. They'd heard about the miracles, and there's an excitement in the air. I was trying to think even this week, what would I compare it to, this excitement? And maybe you've been to a sporting event and then, you know, the Final Four is coming up and people get excited, but I would say that pales in comparison. But there's a fervor, there's an energy, there's something which we long for in the sort of the placid life that we live too often, but there's an energy in the city. You can sense it. But even as the Christian church today remembers and reflects on Palm Sunday and all that it means, we can't but do it also through the shadow of the cross. It's only 5 days before Jesus' crucifixion. 5 days. 5 days before the hard, cruel walk to the cross at Golgotha. 5 days before the mocking and the beating, the thorns and the nails. 5 days before the sin-bearing and the God-forsaken experience of being crucified as God's chosen lamb. Only 5 days. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Up until this moment in Jesus' ministry, and you can find this in one of the wonders of maybe reading this guide, but also the Gospels, as you see in the trajectory of the Gospels, as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, and there's miracles, and there's parables, and there's moments in which God's people are wondering. But all throughout that time, you have this curious thing in which Jesus says, don't tell anybody. He's trying to keep a lid on things, but not today. The time was right now. This was the city. This was the week. This was, in fact, the day. And Friday would ultimately be the day. And that's why Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Picking up on our gospel this morning in Luke, this is an art I found this week. Art's an interesting thing. Some of them just grab your heart, and this one sort of just grabbed me for a moment. It's Luke telling the gospel, and up till now, Jesus has been living somewhat in the shadows. And Luke tells us that he sends his disciples to bring him a colt, and that was a fulfillment of a long-standing prophecy of the coming of the one, of the king. And Jesus doesn't stop the people that day as they're taking off their cloaks. And you should know that within the social economic status of people in that day, especially amongst the poor, that was the only thing many of them may have owned. Precious. and they're taking off their cloaks and they're laying them in the road. And other gospels tell us they're cutting down palm branches because that's a symbol in Jewish faith of the coming of the king and the victor. And they're doing all of this, and Jesus doesn't stop any of it, and nor does he shush the Pharisees when God's people sing that ancient song, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." How will we respond to the king? Some of the Pharisees in the crowd say to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." It's almost the highest thing somebody could do, to shut somebody else up. Rebuke them. And Jesus responds with the clearest public affirmation throughout his entire ministry career and mission, and affirms that he is the one. He is the one they're singing about. I mentioned that this was a politically charged saying, and it really is. It's a spiritually charged one, too. Remember, there's only two ways, really, ultimately, people can respond to Christ. Either we'll embrace him as the king that he is, or we will not. They've been waiting. God's people are still waiting, in a certain sense, but they were waiting for the day in which God had said to Eve and the serpent in Genesis 3, there's a coming. There's a day coming. Just you wait for it. There's a day coming when the offspring of Eve will crush the head of the serpent, even though the serpent will strike his heel. Jesus' reply is the turning point once again. "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Paul tells us in Romans 8 that all of creation groans in anticipation for this day. I've never heard a rock sing. I've not heard creation, but the psalmist reminds us, right? All of creation, all of it sings the glory of its creator. But Paul says in Romans 8 that all of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, he says, right up to the present time. Creation is singing the glory of the one who made it, but creation is also groaning, says Paul. Not singing, per se, groaning for the day when everything is going to be right again. The wrongs will be reversed. The king will have come. And if the people would not acknowledge this longing, Jesus says, creation would. The stones did not cry out that day. If they had, it would have been because they understood the moment better than the Pharisees did. They would have understood the moment better than those who didn't like it, better than so many still today don't get it. But then listen to the words again of the people. "Peace in heaven." Why only peace in heaven? Well, it's because when there's peace in heaven, there can be peace on earth, right? So peace in heaven and glory. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace. You've heard this before. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. This is the longing of the human heart. This is the longing of your heart. As you think about all that's going on in our world today, and it's easy to reference it, but it's genuinely true as we think about all that is so unpeaceful. We think about the peace that Jesus brings. Peace. Peace is what this points to. Peace because it's pointing to a person. Peace because it's pointing to the one. And here again, Luke is framing the story rightly. He wants us to focus on Jesus. You hear the people singing, praise God for it, and the cloaks on the road, wonderful picture. But let the zoom of this lens just constantly go right to the one and see Jesus. He is the peace that our hearts are longing for. It points to the one who can bring peace between God and sinners. Remember, it's peace in heaven. Peace to God and sinners. Peace to every human heart longing for some relief. And we know that longing. I know that longing. I know you know that longing. We long for peace. We long for something. And this answer is Jesus. Because peace on earth would not happen until peace was made in heaven. Jesus said to them, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. On the one hand, we have the beauty of this Palm Sunday. Many have wondered, you know, beautiful day, sunny, some new early morning, I don't know. Sunny day in a Palestinian village on a hillside. There's colorful coats strewn on the road, branches waving, though not in Luke's gospel, but everything's filling the air of praise. On the one hand, we have that picture, and at the same time, we have Isaiah 53. We can't separate the king on the colt from the Savior on the cross. So we have on one hand this beautiful picture. At the same time, we have looming on the horizon another hillside. And on this other hillside, it's unnaturally dark during that day. And sprawled on the road is a condemned man. And eventually there are three crosses filling the air. But one of those crosses is not like the other. This is the testament of the Christian church. One cross made a way for peace. I know it feels like I'm jumping past Palm Sunday, but we can't see Palm Sunday but yet through the lens of Good Friday, because on Friday, the tree of death becomes the tree of life. Just a mere 5 days later. A mere 5 days later, probably wasn't even on the minds of many that day, but it was on Jesus' mind. So, in this moment, Jesus declared, now is not the time to be silent. Now is not the time to shush the people. What they could never really ultimately see until after it happened, right, is that the coming days would bring it all together. And when we, by faith, recognize the prophecy of Isaiah 53, which of course is very popular in the season of Lent and all the more so in this Holy Week, to remember about Christ that this king on a colt was pierced, he was crushed. And the punishment that brought us peace, as Isaiah says, right, it was on him, the perfect Lamb of God, his wounds healed us. I tell you, Jesus replied, If you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. That day, the disciples, the crowd, the people, how many, I don't know. But in this glorious moment in the story of redemption, they're all lined up perfectly and they're singing. The stones didn't have to get into the story. They're aligned with God's way. Even if they didn't know how, and certainly they did not know what that day all meant, but their voices proclaimed what we need to proclaim, that Jesus is the long-awaited King. Please don't be silent. Today, we should not be. Now is not the time for muteness. Now is not the time to be comfortable, to be convenient with a private faith. Don't do it. Our voice needs to be singing. It's a beautiful passage in 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5, in which Peter says this, as you come to him, remember I said at the beginning, ever since Easter, stones have been singing? I will do my best to never call you bad names, but you are all stones, okay? As you come to him, and he's the living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Now here it is, you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And here's the kicker. To offer spiritual sacrifices, or the NIV, this is from the ESV, but the NIV says, clothed praise, right? All the worship. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Have you found your voice? Have I found my voice? There's plenty of noise that fills my days and fills life. Some of those noises or voices are actually quite dangerous. So many are in competition with this voice. Let's not be silent. We need to find the voice. And Palm Sunday is clearly all about Christ. He's the focus, but if you know him, then for the sake of him, let's find our voice. Let's find it. Let's find it so that faith doesn't become just a private thing. It's Holy Week. And one of the things that Holy Week reminds us of is that even when the darkness tries to overcome the light continues to shine. And we look to this Christ, and we find that he gives us voice and a song to sing. And let's be honest, there's a gospel evangelistic point to all of this too, because there's so many people who have yet to find that voice. So many people who they're in our homes, they're in our families, they're at work, we're rubbing shoulders with them wherever we go. And so we have to go back ultimately to the gospel and say, we want them to know this song. We want them to find their voice. Do you know it? Because we're living stones, you see. And we must cry out. Because our foundation is the living stone. And the path that he paves for us expects us not to be silent. No matter what others think. Because faith, we're back to this again, saving faith, which really Palm Sunday, Holy Week, Easter, the whole Christian life, the glory of the cross, calls us to again. Faith that rests in the cornerstone who is Christ. Faith who rests in the living stone. The one who paved the path of hope and life and faith for you, for me. Faith believes we must lift our voice to the one who is the King. In the book of Revelation, which we just did a series on recently, which is a beautiful story of the church triumphant in the midst of so many trials. But right near in Revelation 5, the writer of Revelation says, I want you to know what's coming. He says, a day is coming when all of creation is going to be gathered before the throne of this King. And this is the song they're going to sing. They're going to sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And we don't have to wait till that day. We don't have to wait until the day to find our voice. Jesus says, I tell you, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And praise God, that is who we are. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, on this Palm Sunday, in the beginning of this important week in the Christian church, we pray that you would calibrate our hearts in such a way that we would be overwhelmed with the wonder of Christ. Help us to find our voice, O God, in the midst of these days. Help us to trust, O God, that this voice is one that sings of the King who has come, who will come again. Help us find our voice so that it may be a blessing to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.